Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Monday, live in beautiful Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1, 1 hour from now, as is customary, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong, and there's plenty of both. The ubiquitous, she's everywhere. Joy Taylor is now joining me this morning. She was on First Things First when I drove in this morning at some ungodly hour. I don't know what time you have to get up, Joy, but thanks for being on the show.
1:55 a.m.
Oh, terrific.
You know what? Weirdly, I woke up 1 minute before the alarm went off,
That happens to me a lot. I think it happens to a lot of people. I can't explain it. It's weird.
It's very odd,
it's
right?
It's like a ghost inside
of
all
I'm like,
of us.
I would definitely never plan to wake up at 1:54 in the morning, but it was fun. NBA playoffs are finally here.
Oh, they're finally here, and it's interesting. There's something called inner scoreboard that if you've had success in life, maybe professionally, maybe socially, you know, you're a beautiful woman and you have confidence. It's an inner scoreboard that you have confidence in social situations. Maybe you're a very funny guy. You're very confident around people because you've had success your whole life. Maybe it's professional success, whatever it is. The inner scoreboard. A lot of people flex their outer scoreboard. I am great. But people with an inner scoreboard don't have to tell you that. And that's the Lakers. To give you an understanding of the Lakers-Clippers relationship in Los Angeles, we all know the Lakers have 17 titles and the Clippers have never made a conference championship series. The Lakers' all-time leading scorers when they were in L.A., Kobe to Jerry West to Kareem to Elgin to Magic to James Worthy to Shaq, the Clippers' all-time leading scorer is Randy Smith. It is different, and there is a confidence about the Lakers walking into any series with the Clippers, especially a playoff series. They've won so many. In Los Angeles, it's not just the Lakers are the big brother and the Clippers are the little brother. It's not just 17 titles to zero finals. It is the way in which the Lakers see themselves in the world. And a prime example of that was the last week. Last night, the Clippers lost to the worst team in the NBA. Oklahoma City, before last night, had played 24 games and they were 1-23. And the Clippers lost to them because the Clippers tanked. The Clippers did not want to win. And when it was close late, you knew they'd lose anyway because nobody's worse late this year than the Clippers. And by the way, they lost to Houston before that, the second worst NBA team. Why would the Clippers do that? Because the Clippers are so terrified of facing the Lakers being on their side of the bracket that they tanked to Houston and Oklahoma City. So now the Clippers will face Dallas. Allergic to defense, the Clippers should win that series. Defense tends to matter a lot in the playoffs. After that, they would face Utah, a team I think the Clippers actually match up very well. Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, they don't have an athletic wing to stop either. But what did the Lakers do in the last week or so? The Lakers have been hobbled all year. AD can't stay healthy. Dennis Schroeder was out, COVID protocol. LeBron James nagging high ankle sprain. And what did the Lakers do? They finally got healthy about 10 days ago. They won 5 straight games, and when asked about the playoffs, LeBron said, I don't care who we play. I don't care where we're seated. I'm not even going to be 100%. Ready to go, baby. Bring them on. And that is the difference between the Clippers and the Lakers. LeBron James in his 18th year and his running mate, AD, who's brittle, have been hobbled all year in this condensed season. And they're like, yeah, we're healthy. We won 5 straight. Bring on the Nets. Bring on the Bucks. Bring on the Sixers. Bring on the Warriors. Bring on the bring the whole league. All ready to go. The Clippers, who have been healthier and better all year, are terrified. So we'll tank to Oklahoma City and we'll tank to Houston. Now, I know what you're saying. Colin, that's because they're resting. Really? You think the Clippers can rest? After melting down last year, Joy and I as witnesses in the bubble, having no chemistry, and oh, by the way, this year, being the worst good team in the NBA in clutch points. They should take time off? LeBron and AD won the title last year. They wanted to get games in late. And the Clippers are like, nah, we got it all figured out. No, you don't. No, you're terrified of the Lakers. You see this all the time in UFC. You see like two female combatants, two guys walking in. Boy, yeah, both look confident. It's going to be a war. And after about 2 minutes first round, one of them's going forward and one of them's going backward, right? Everybody looks the part. Everybody talks the part. Everybody markets the part. Everybody promotes the part. The Clippers are terrified of the Lakers, and the old hobbling Lakers are, come on, bro, let's go. If they met in an octagon, the Lakers would be moving forward and the Clippers would be backpedaling. Got to respect that. Got to respect the Lakers. Falling apart. We don't care where we're seated. Let's go. All right, so I want to talk about a Steph Curry for a second. Maybe you've heard of him. Steph Curry, certainly there's an argument to be made. He is the MVP. There's certainly an argument to be made. I would give it to Chris Paul, but just because I do think the regular season matters, and the Suns have had a glorious regular season. And the Suns' history has been, in 11 years before this, a mess. But every little boy and little girl, and I count myself on this at one point when I was about 6, 7 years old, I had a little hoop down the driveway. Every little boy and girl who picks up a basketball, the first thing they want to do is put the ball in the hoop. They don't work on their ball handling. They don't get into a defensive position. It's not about passing the ball to your neighbor. You grab the ball and you shoot it. That's what you want to do, right? You want to hear the swish. All the best basketball players in the world, the top 50, they're all scorers. Steph Curry is the greatest shooter of a basketball in the history of the world. That act of grabbing and shooting a ball, he's the best ever in the history of the world. If he played Michael Jordan and horse, he would have H-O-R-S-E, and Michael would be putting on his second sock. The greatest player couldn't compete with him. He's the best shooter of all time. We can argue who's better, Federer, Nadal, Djokovic. We can argue MJ LeBron. We can argue Ronaldo Messi, Martina Serena, whatever you want to argue. You cannot argue the greatest shooter in the history of basketball. And it's the thing every little boy and girl want to do when they grab it is shoot, put it in the net. He's the best ever. But it's not just that. And I think this stuff is important. I've said for years and years, the thing that's underrated about the NBA is intelligence. Go look at how successful the Bad Boy Pistons players were after basketball, like GMs and coaches. And they were just, those guys were just fighters. No, there were several of them that became coaches and general managers or broadcasters. The Miami Heat, in my opinion, that championship team with LeBron, Wade, Bosch, Battier, was the smartest basketball team I've ever seen. But if you look at Shaq and Kobe's careers post-basketball, I mean, Kobe's winning an Oscar. Shaq is Mr. Business. That being smart and self-awareness and the ability to adapt and play with others is really not a nuance. It's really, really important. And the NBA, now we don't even want players going to college. Go to the G League for an hour, go play. That means players are younger. We're inserting 19-year-old kids from all over the world into the league. They cannot drink at the hotels they stay at. They can't go to the bar in the Ritz-Carlton they stay at. They're kids. In the NFL, you play 3 years minimum. You often redshirt. God, you watch the draft. Some of these guys went to college for 5 years. They're 23 years old. They're married. By the time they get to the NFL, they've gone to college. They've dealt with classes, other kids, genders, races, religions. It's a whole different world. But basketball, you're good, you're in the league, go. So there's a lot of dysfunction. A lot of kids are emotionally overwhelmed. And here is Steph Curry, 2-2-2, two MVPs, two titles, two scoring championships. Only Wilt and Kareem and MJ can say that. But I think what makes Steph Curry, beyond being the best shooter in the history of basketball, and I would argue, certainly arguable, the best ball handler, is that with all the stuff this year that's gone on, the franchise is sort of an injury, transient, underwhelming, uneven mess, and he got him into the playoffs. Now think of how good Bradley Beal and Westbrook are. They'll both make the Hall of Fame. In the East, we're not sure. They have play-in games. They may not make the playoffs. In the East, Steph has a chance to get these Warriors in the West, and it has been, they are the smallest team. Their top draft pick got hurt. Klay Thompson got hurt. Kevin Durant left a couple years ago. It's his ability to function without drama in a league that is a fire hose nonstop of dysfunction and drama and kids asking to play a man's game. And here's Steph Curry, this Warriors season. Think about this. When Steph Curry played this year, the Warriors were a top 10 offense. When Steph Curry was not on the floor this year, it was the worst NBA offense in 5 years. What? Maturity, self-awareness, intelligence. Maybe we should credit his father. He grew up around NBA games. But Golden State has been a noisy, noisy operation. Some of it their fault, some not, for the last 2 years. And here they are, you know, with a chance to do something in the postseason in the Western Conference. And it comes down to this guy. He can't win without KD. Already has. Can't win without Klay. Boom. He won't win the MVP. Certainly you could vote him in. It wouldn't be embarrassing. LeBron said yesterday, that's the guy. Look what he's dealt with. But I marvel at his story, his maturity, his self-awareness. For all the doubters, and for some weird reason, there's been a lot of them, this year is as great a year as Steph Curry has ever had. They're simply not functional enough and not talented enough to do anything in the postseason. But the fact they have a puncher's chance speaks volumes of Steph Curry. So I was in Chicago this weekend. I love that city. It's a great American city. It had better weather than Los Angeles this weekend. And I really noticed something. You know, I mean, there's people out there that have real roadblocks and you know, they have to overcome a lot. We all understand that. Like I didn't have a perfect childhood, but I'm fine. But it is amazing. I heard a story this weekend, and I can't wrap my brain around it, but it's going to happen to Aaron Rodgers, and it did happen to Tom Brady, and it's going to look the exact same, and it just blows my mind that's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hot water that never runs out? Go tankless with Navien tankless water heaters. Get local rebates too. Spa-like comfort. Tanklessmadesimple.com. So, you know, it is... I told Joy, I think I said it on the air. I may have said it on the air where about a month ago I decided to use Cameo. And Cameo is this company where, like, a public figure, a mayor, Michael Strahan, Martha Stewart, me, anybody, you could pay a small fee or a big fee, depends on what the person sets, and you could get messages on Father's Day or Mother's Day or Valentine's from a Michael Strahan or, you know, whoever, right? A public figure. It could be the mayor of your city. It could be, you know, Jimmy Kimmel. It could be anybody, a comedian, whatever. And that technology was available 10 years ago. Nobody thought of it. It's not that complicated. Public figures and regular people, what if public figures for like $25, $30, you could talk to them or they could send you a message? There's greatness everywhere. Not just good, there's great everywhere. Get off Twitter and find it. Be smarter. I'm reading a story this morning that Bruce Arians talks about Tom Brady and about how long it took them to get going. And he's like, it took a while for our playbooks to work. Here's what's amazing about the whole Brady thing. 14 months ago, he was available to the whole league. The whole damn league. Two teams aggressively pursued him. Chargers, Buccaneers. One, the Chargers are known as the franchise that always has the talent but can't win the big game. And Tampa Bay had the worst winning percentage in American professional sports history. Those were the two Tom considered. It's not like he would not have considered your crappy NFL franchise. He went to Tampa. The Chargers are the second most popular team in LA. They were second. That's who he considered. Do you realize Peyton Manning, his first choice was the Houston Texans? No, that's been verified. Look it up. It's called Google. He chose Denver. He wanted to go to Houston. Houston chose Matt Schaub. I know some people, childhood wasn't perfect. I get it. There's burn victims. They're orphans. I get it. But I'm not really interested in most of your issues and problems. Be smarter. There's available greatness everywhere. Peyton Manning available to the league. John Elway's like, let's get aggressive. Go get him. Tom Brady available to the league. Tampa Bay's like, whatever it takes, go get him. By the way, Aaron Rodgers is really not available now because Green Bay is not taking calls. But in a year when his cap hit goes from, what, $38 million to $17 million, and Green Bay's tired of dealing with Aaron, he will be available. But he will also be 38 years old, and he's had a couple of collarbone surgeries. Watch 90% of the league talk themselves out of it. For a year, I kept saying, Jimmy Garoppolo is available. There were like 10 teams in the NFL with crappy quarterbacks. I'm like, Jimmy Garoppolo's available. He's good enough that he threatens Tom Brady. San Francisco got on the phone and went, hello, we'll take him. And they were like, all right, second round pick. What? 2 years later, Super Bowl. 2 years later. By the way, when the Aaron Rodgers story came out on draft night, that he may be available. Do you know who called? The Niners, the same team that called on Jimmy Garoppolo. They got on what they call a phone and said, is there a chance? No. Okay, we just wanted to call. Apparently 29 teams didn't. Excuse me? Aaron Rodgers available on the market. 29 teams are like, nah, we're going to go with Andy Dalton. What? What are you doing? So I guess my whole point is Peyton Manning wanted to be a Texan. Aaron Rodgers will be available next year. Matt Stafford just was. Tom Brady was. Two teams wanted him. Like, you can tell me about your problems, but there is greatness available. American Idol was passed on by every network, everyone, and then dominated television. It was a hit show already in England. No, not interested. Really, really. Too many good shows on ABC, apparently. Yeah. All your days were filled. You couldn't roll the dice in American Idol. All right. Okay, fine. It just cracks me up. Aaron Rodgers is going to be available in 1 year, and he's not going to cost that much. 90% of the league will talk themselves out of it. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
According to Cleveland fans, they're already out of it. No, thank you.
No, thank you. We've got our future.
No, thank you. So LeBron and the Lakers are gearing up to face Steph Curry and the Warriors in the play-in tournament on Wednesday. That's going to be a fun watch. And LeBron put his weight behind Steph as the MVP of the season ahead of the matchup.
I don't know anything else. If you're looking for an MVP, if Steph is not on Golden State's team, then what are we looking at? We get caught up in a record sometimes. We get caught up in, okay, who has the best record? And, you know, instead of just saying who had the best season that year. And Steph has had, in my opinion, the best season all year.
I can't argue that Steph has had an unbelievable season.
Oh, my God. I think, so what is the MVP? Valuable. It's the worst offense in the league in 5 years when he's not on the floor. It is a top 10 offense in the NBA in a year that's been all about offense when he is on the floor. And basically, his second best player is the talented but wildly inconsistent Andrew Wiggins, who we all think is talented, but you never know night to night what you're getting with Andrew Wiggins. That's his two. There is no three.
We have no set criteria for what the MVP is, what the measurables are. Is it the best statistical season? Is it the best player on the best team? Is it a record-setting season? It truly changes every single year.
Yeah.
To me, Chris Paul is MVP.
Yeah.
And Steph being behind him, it's like 1A.
Yeah.
If I'm evaluating what is the most valuable, to LeBron's point, don't get caught up in the records, but I do think that the records shouldn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, you can't be the worst team in the league and average 40. Right. How valuable are you?
No, I mean, I don't think a team like a player on the worst team would be considered. But if you look at the Suns and the Warriors, I mean, obviously Chris Paul is working with a little bit more than than Steph is this year. But look, like that's how it shook out. I think if you evaluate the Suns' growth year to year, they won 19 games, they won 34 games this year, the second seed in the West, and won 51 games. And Chris Paul has obviously contributed to that in the biggest way. Like, he has put them in that situation. So to me, it's Chris Paul. But this might be my favorite season that Steph Curry's ever had in his career, because at the beginning of the season, all we could hear was about how Steph's going to get exposed and, you know, he really is supported by everyone else and it's a system and he's just a shooter. And you can say what you want about them, you know, only being in the play-in tournament. They're playing the Lakers. So, and I understand LeBron and AD were out and that's the reason why they're there. But regardless, they're in the play-in tournament with the Lakers. So they're in the playoffs. Like, this is a part, this is an extension of the playoffs. So I think that Steph's had a year where he's truly shut everyone up.
Yeah.
He probably deserves the MVP.
Yeah.
Neither one of them are going to get it. It's going to go to Jokic. But who's had an MVP season as well? But I just think we have no set criteria for it. The Knicks have been the surprise of the NBA this season. It's been fun. I'm glad that the Knicks are competitive. The NBA is absolutely more fun. It is better when the Knicks are in contention. They had a 96-92 win over the Celtics Sunday, clinched the 4 seed in the East, and will have home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. They also finished the regular season with a record of 41-31 for their first winning season in 8 years. So congratulations, Knicks fans.
Yes.
It's been a long, hard road, and now here you are, 4 seed in the East. I love it.
And playing the kind of basketball this roster has to.
Yes.
Their identity is exactly what it should be. They play hard, they scrap, they ask their starters play more minutes, and that's the only way they're going to win. And they have done it. And by the way, don't kid yourself. Professional athletes are coachable. Thibodeau's practices are legendarily hard. Thibodeau demands more of you. And the Knicks have said, all right, we're going to buy in. So much of sports is the buy-in.
Yeah.
Will you buy in? Because Thibodeau asks a lot of his players.
It's got to be the right players in the right system.
And they have.
And they have it. Yeah, Thibodeau's done an incredible job. I was very skeptical.
No, it felt like a retread hire.
If this was going to work. And it has. For this year, and it's been fun to watch. Julius Randle obviously having an incredible career season, and I'm really looking forward to watching them in the playoffs, however it shakes out. So everyone's freaking out over this, and I just need everyone to just calm down. I don't know if this is going to be the trend for Jacksonville this year, and it may have just started with the Tebow thing, but they used the 25th overall pick on running back Travis Etienne, which I thought was a good pick for them. But they're hoping to use him in more of a hybrid role. Urban Meyer is having Etienne take all of his reps at the wide receiver position during rookie minicamp. He said he wants to develop him into a back with elite receiving skills.
Kind of like Alvin Kamara, which is who he's compared to.
Etienne says he's on board with the plan, and he feels great about it. I don't know. Everyone was like freaking out about this. Like, it's a big deal. First of all, it's rookie minicamp.
2 days, 3 days.
Okay. He's still going to be a running back. It's okay to dig in on something and develop it. By the way, he had 48 catches for 588 yards and 2 touchdowns last season.
Yeah, he'd be developed into a very good receiving
back. Right, a lot of teams use running backs as receivers as well.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt to help him develop into having the actual solid wide receiving skills while being a running back. Just stop freaking out about everything. This is a couple days, all right? He's working
on
his
receiving. By the way, Urban Meyer was wearing a mask there at practice. In Florida, do you have to wear a mask outdoors?
No, you don't, but...
Because in Chicago this weekend, people didn't.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's just taking extra precautions.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I know he's vaccinated.
Is he vaccinated?
Well, I think Urban would be, yeah.
Oh, I don't know if he is or not.
I think most of the NFL is vaccinated, aren't they? Most of the NBA has to be.
Well, if you, I mean, certainly if you don't want to deal with the protocols.
Yeah, you get knocked off for like 10 days if you're
I mean, I don't know if he is or if he's not. Then that would make sense that he's still masking up. I'm sure that's the policy.
I kind of went off into the weeds on that. That was
Joy. It's kind of nice that we're noticing that we're not having to wear masks anymore.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
By the way,
news.
Remind me of the documentary I watched on the plane tomorrow after I talked to Broussard.
Okay.
Oh, love documentaries. This was a good one. Chris Broussard, my buddy Fox Sports analyst, joining us, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. I mean, Chris, so the Clippers appear so terrified of the Lakers that they tanked to Houston and Oklahoma City so they don't have to play the Lakers. I'm not the only one that noticed that, right? Like, that's real. That's what happened this weekend, right?
It is real. All right, it's real. I've talked to people. It's real, and it is weak. I mean, the Clippers just keep disappointing me. You know, last year, I picked them to win the championship, and they just melt down against the Denver Nuggets. And this year, you purposely avoid the Lakers. And let's keep it real. You might still get the Lakers early.
Yeah, you could.
Because they're fourth, right? If the Lakers finish eighth, and you could meet them in the second round. So you've avoided them in the first round, but I don't like that mentality. You got Kawhi Leonard, a two-time champion, and Paul George, one of the better players in the league, and Rajon Rondo, playoff Rondo, and all the other guys, and you're afraid of the Lakers? Come on. You can't be thinking about that. And it might be best, Colin. I would probably, yeah, you want to get past the first round. But I might rather meet the Lakers in the first round than in the conference finals.
Yeah.
Because if the Lakers get to the conference finals, that means they're clicking. It means by that point, LeBron and AD are probably, you know, as close to 100% as they're going to get this year. And they're confident and they're rolling. You meet them in the first round. They didn't have as much time to prepare because they may have had to play in. They had to play in. And, well, at that point, they wouldn't have had to play in. But, you know, you meet them in the first round, it's a little different, and so they're not quite as together. So I just think it's just not a bad precedent to set. And I'm not saying that they, you know, they didn't talk to all the players and say, hey, let's tank, you know. But they avoided the Lakers, and I don't like that sign. I don't like what that says at all.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, LeBron's gotten to a point where I was talking to Nick Wright yesterday, and he brought up an interesting point. He said, you know, for all of AD's injuries, he's never missed a playoff game. Lakers, New Orleans, never missed a playoff game. So he's ready when you need him. And I almost think this is the year. Like last year, LeBron and AD got kind of a break with the pandemic, 4.5 months off. Well, that is what LeBron needs for his body. This year is the opposite, which is a condensed schedule, 2 months, play again. And so some of this you could forecast that LeBron and AD, this was going to be difficult for their bodies. But yesterday, LeBron tweaked his ankle again. And I think to myself, let's just be realistic. LeBron's going to miss a playoff game or two. If LeBron does miss a playoff game or two, and they have to be led by AD, do you still like him winning the West?
Well, they may be able to massage it to what playoff games he misses. Like, if it's a situation where they're up 3-0 or even 3-1 and then they can rest him, you know, it's not like he got a tweak or anything, but it's just bothering him a little and he can rest, then that's different. But if he gets hurt again and he's not hurt to the point where he's out for the whole playoffs, but he can't play a game or two, I don't think AD can carry them. Like, if LeBron misses a game or two, it has to be by choice. Because they're resting him because they are up big in a series. Losing him in the middle of a competitive series and having AD carry you, I don't think he can. One, he couldn't carry a team in New Orleans, and I get it. He was young for many of those years. But this year, when many people, including myself, thought he would step up off that championship and go for the MVP award, he did not get it. His whole offseason was thrown off and all that. But so was everybody's, okay? And I just, AD, he's played better of late, yesterday notwithstanding. He's had some big games the last week or so. But No, I don't think he could carry them in huge games against another top-notch team. They need LeBron.
So there is some rumbling in Boston about Brad Stevens. And, you know, maybe he's worn out his welcome. And I've always had kind of a belief when you're considering firing somebody, not saying the Celtics are, is how long will they be unemployed and could they go to your rival? Doesn't matter if it's TV business. Doesn't matter if it's the law business. How long will they be unemployed? Could they go to a rival? And the answer with Brad Stevens is 5 minutes and yes. Because if Budenholzer doesn't win with the Bucks, they'd run him out. And Brad Stevens could be coaching Giannis because he's a Midwestern guy. He'd take Milwaukee in a second. And by the way, you want no part of that. So, you know, it's very easy to stand up there. It kind of feels like the Andy Reid Philadelphia thing that you fire Andy Reid and 5 minutes later, a really good organization goes, yeah, we'll take Andy Reid. When I hear these Brad Stevens rumors, I'm like, I'd be careful because I think these Eastern teams with talent, you know, obviously Miami's going to stay with Spoelstra forever, and I think Doc's safe for years. Right. But I don't know. When I hear Boston and Brad Stevens, I think, just make sure you don't face him for the next 5 years. Your thoughts on Stevens in Boston?
I think that makes a lot of sense. Brad's a very good coach. If I were Danny Ainge, I would be looking at giving him at least one more year. Let's see what happens next year. Because a lot of things went wrong. Gordon Hayward, they lost him. He was important. We know he was overpaid. He didn't play like the, you know, superstar that they thought he was in Boston, but he was a ball mover and he was good for that team. And so that was a big loss. Kemba Walker, the knee is not the same. So he is not the same. You know, yeah, so there are a lot of other factors. Here's the concern I have about Brad, and I've had it for years. There are some coaches in the NBA who can coach, they'll maximize limited talent.
Yeah.
Right. And obviously he's had Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown for a while. But when they first got there, they were young. OK. And they obviously they're going to go in there. They're going to listen to the coach. They're going to, you know, soak up everything they can. And they don't have that superstar ego yet. OK. But now they're superstar. Jason's darn near a superstar. He's a star. And Jaylen was an all-star, obviously. That I question whether Brad can handle the blue chippers. He can handle the Honda Accords. Can he drive a Maserati? Right. Can he drive a Mercedes? You know, because he couldn't handle Kyrie. And now you see things have kind of gone sideways this year as those two guys have emerged as stars. And at Butler, you're not getting the blue chip athlete. You're getting the guy with the chip on his shoulder because he wasn't good enough, or at least they said he wasn't good enough to go to Arizona or Kentucky or someplace like that. So I'm not saying he can't, but that's a question that I've had about Brad. It didn't work with Kyrie. So that's what they've got to figure out in Boston. But I would not get rid of him after this season. I'd keep him.
Yeah, by the way, what do you make of Steph's year? He is the greatest shooter of the basketball in my life ever, probably. You know, I've always found maybe it's because of his kind of nerdy shoe line. You know, he likes to golf. He goes to bed early. You know, he's kind of married. He's not as cool as some people like. And there's been a certain amount of disrespect toward him. But I watch him this year and I'm like, God, 33 a night. And Golden State this year has been a little bit of an uneven, injury-riddled mess. Kelly Oubre, Andrew Wiggins, Wiseman got hurt. They've got no size. It's like, this team's not very good. Right? It's the smallest team in the league now. What do you make of his year?
Well, and I believe there were 37 and 26 with him.
Yeah.
And I might be slightly off, but 2-7 without him. And you're right. Look, anybody, whether they're a fellow player or a commentator or observer who didn't respect Steph Curry and said, well, yeah, Klay was drawing a lot of attention and Draymond was there and, you know, Andre Iguodala even. And then Durant came and, yeah, sure, Steph could shine. He had to earn your respect this year. Now, I never felt that way about him. I believe, Colin, I think I was the first, but maybe I was one of the first on national TV to say he was the best shooter of all time back in 2015. But this year, what he did, I do think individually, it was probably better than his second MVP year, yeah, which was when he averaged 30 points, 7 assists on 50-40-90. Now, this year he didn't hit the 50-40-90, but he averaged fewer assists. But he was doing it against constant double teaming and sometimes triple teaming. And yet you had no one else to worry about. And yet he still dropped 32, carried this team to the playoffs. He's phenomenal. I've said he is the best small or under the rim player of all time, slightly edging out Isaiah Thomas. And now I think he just, even though they're not going to win the finals or get there, I think he backed it up this year. He won't be MVP. He was fifth on my ballot because he's eighth seed. I'm sorry, he's eighth seed, but he had a phenomenal year.
Good. So you've had a very good year as well. You're our MVP in the NBA playoffs, Chris Broussard. Good seeing you, buddy.
All right, my man. Peace.
All right, Colin right, Colin wrong, top of the hour. Latest on Aaron Rodgers, and there is something on Aaron Rodgers.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Sometimes Joey and I have so much in common. You know, maybe, you know how they say people start looking like their pets? I am starting to look like Joy. She's starting to look like me because we have so much in common. We've worked together now so long. We literally think the exact same way. So I watched the Tiger Woods documentary flying back from Chicago this weekend.
Yeah.
The book was great. Jeff Benedict, Armin Katayan. And so I watched the first part, and it was all about the golf, and it was fascinating. His childhood. I mean, it was goosebumps. There were times I'm like, Rocco mediate, the greatest round ever at the Master. I mean, there are just times you're just like, oh my God. The second half, so then it ends, and then I get myself a ginger ale, as I'm prone to do flying. I'm not sure why. It's the only time in the world I drink ginger ale, but I had a ginger ale, and then I push the second part. That's going to be an hour and a half. It was all about sex.
Yeah.
It was all about Tiger and sex. And I'm thinking to myself, I want more golf. I don't care about the sex part. And Joy said during the break, you're very funny about how you view, from a woman's perspective, you were not offended by what Tiger did when he was at the height of his game, cheated on his wife, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I'm not his wife. I mean, I'm sure that sounds very callous and cold, but I just don't know what that has to do with me. I think in certain situations, we get too far into the tabloid-ish coverage of superstars. Like, I'm not saying he's not a jerk. I'm not saying what he did was right. Of course not. But this is family business. What does that have to do with Tiger Woods, the golfer? Because the reaction when that happened, everyone was obviously talking about it, and it was a massive story, was like, wow. I mean, he had us convinced he was a family man. Did he tell you he was a family man? Are you his, like, cousin or something? What are you talking about? You like him because he's a great and an incredible all-time golfer.
By the way,
nobody owes you an explanation for how they handle their personal life and their family.
By the way, the funny thing was, Peyton Manning has always tried to sell us that he's one of us. You know, it's he does, like, sub sandwiches and mid-sized cars.
Right.
Tiger and Brady never did that. Brady's been like, I wear Uggs and $2,000 watches right, and $7,000 mattresses. So Brady has never sold me he's one of me. He now has TB12 method. It's expensive.
Right.
Tiger never wants.
And that's so you can be like him.
Yeah. Tom Brady's got no interest being you. He is selling you on work harder, you'll be me. Tiger Woods was the same thing. Tiger was never about, Michael Jordan, by the way, and Peyton Manning, Hanes underwear. Be like Mike. I'm one of you. By the way, Peyton's brilliant. Michael's brilliant. But that was their marketing. You could be upset with them. Well, they were so wholesome because they're selling you wholesome. Brady's selling you elite lifestyle. Tiger's selling you elite lifestyle. By the way, the whole thing, and
what bothered me also with it was the whole culture of golf
is
at that, especially at that time, was, oh, Let's get away from the wife and the girlfriends for a few hours.
Go hit the ball.
Have some pops on the green. Like, now all of a sudden you guys are some righteous holy rollers.
By the way, like, Tiger was the first guy to go off the fairway a
little. Was very glass house for me. Oh. And I have such little tolerance and patience for hypocrites. It's one of those things that, like, will immediately infuriate me. Because I strive really hard to not be hypocritical. And that just felt like...
The whole second part of the documentary was the sex stuff.
I don't care about the sex.
The golfing, the book. You know what? I want to be this guy. And this guy's always obnoxious. I like the book better than the movie.
Yeah, that's obnoxious.
God, that guy's the worst guy in the world.
The worst guy.
I just became the worst guy in the world. Hour two next.